Our text today comes from Exodus chapter 13, verses 13 through 15, and can be found in the Old Testament on page 50 in your pew Bible. Let us listen to the word of the Lord. But Moses said to God, "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." He said further, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'I am has sent me to you.'" God also said to Moses, "Thus you shall say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations.'" This is the word of the Lord.
So, let us pray. God, we give you thanks for this time and this opportunity to gather and to worship and to do this quite freely. We weren't afraid as we left our homes this morning or gathering here. We don't feel a sense of impending dread or doom. We're quite comfortable and relaxed, and we're reminded that there are people in other parts of the world who are doing exactly what we are doing, but are experiencing those fears because where they live, they cannot freely gather and worship you. And we don't want to take that for granted today, God. And so we're just thankful that we're able to be here to make this choice and to have this time. So teach us from your word in Christ's name. Amen. So as I said, we didn't get to go to the beach this weekend. We are here in Allentown worshiping. And as Becky said, probably getting your grills ready and everything. But for some of us, tomorrow, this weekend, and particularly tomorrow, isn't just a day off from work and an opportunity for picnics and relaxation, but it is a extremely moving and important and significant day. And for some of us, it's extremely personal. It's not just a general remembering of those who gave their lives in service to our country, but it's remembering a particular individual by name. Perhaps a family member, a relative, a close friend who was one of those brave men or women who served our country and gave the last full measure of their devotion to the country. I'm curious, for you, is there anyone here for whom tomorrow is that kind of personal day, a day where there is a person who is connected to your memory of Memorial Day? If you wouldn't mind, could you quickly say who that person is, just what their name and what their relationship is to you? Just holler it out, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I was just playing with my uncle. He's from the Korean War, but I've heard so much about Ali that I feel so
my uncle. Yeah. Some other name, hands up? Yeah.
Grandfather Robert K. Starr.
Grandfather was killed.
He was not killed, but he was on one of the boats. He had shrapnel.
He was wounded. In which war? World War II. Yeah. World War II.
Lieutenant Paul Holland, my youngest brother,
or some other hands? Anybody? Wow, thank you. Thank you so much. You know, those names and their stories are extraordinarily important. And if you haven't recently, I would encourage you to take some time with your family and tell those stories. Even perhaps go to where the person's remains are at some point and remember them. For those of you who have been around a little bit longer, perhaps, you know, if we had done this exercise 40, 50 years ago, many, many more hands would have gone up. 16 million Americans served in World War II. 16 million, and of those, almost a half a million people were killed in active duty. Another 600,000 wounded. So back in the 1940s and 50s, many, many, many families had very specific names of people who they knew, who were brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles, then became, you know, grandparents. And now I came across this graph. It's kind of stunning, actually. These are the surviving veterans of World War II. Of those 16 million men and women who served in 2015, there were less than a million still alive. Now it's under a half a million in 2018. By 2020, it's going to be under 300,000 actually people who lived through that time, who have those specific names of their friends and comrades, who died. In another 10 years, it'll be under 10,000, and eventually the last survivor of that conflict, that great conflict, that great war, will be gone. And the question is, will they be remembered? Will their stories pass away with them? Or will we remember those stories and tell them and pass them on? I mention all of this because I think it is connected in an extraordinarily important way to our text this morning and to the aspect of our Christian faith that is revealed through this particular significant text. This is the text in which God reveals his name to Moses. God, our God, is not a generic concept. Our God is a personal God, and this text is extraordinarily important. God doesn't just say, I'm the God who created everything, but he says, I'm a God and I have a name. My name is I am who I am, or I will be who I will be, which the best pronunciation we can come up with in the Hebrew is Yahweh. Everyone say Yahweh. Yahweh is the biblical name of God. Because we usually don't say Yahweh, the way we have translated that in our text and scripture is Lord. The Lord is the personal name that we give. So when, you know, we say, I trust in the Lord, it's actually a better way of saying it than just saying, I trust in God. God is sort of the generic name of a deity, but the Lord is our shorthand for the name of our God, rather than saying Yahweh. But if you want to say Yahweh and impress your friends and neighbors, you say, I'm a follower of Yahweh. That is what Scripture tells us is his name. But then in this text, Yahweh, who reveals himself in a very, very personal way to Moses as he's speaking to him out of the burning bush, goes on to modify that name, to further refine and define who he is. The scripture says that God said, "I am the God of your ancestors. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That triad of names appears 33 times throughout the Bible, and about half of the 33 times those three names are mentioned in conjunction. It's connected to the name of God. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I find this to be extraordinarily interesting and poignant that over and over again, as God refers to himself or as other people talk about God, our God is connected to these three very specific names: Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why is that important? And why does God use those names as a way of clarifying his character and who he is? I believe it's because the character of our God, as I said, is quite personal. By connecting the name of God to these very personal names, we are invited into remembering who these particular people are, to remembering their story. Just like you named those very particular people, and each one of you could tell stories about who they are, even people you did not know, by naming our God as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we are invited to say, well, who are those people? What did they do? When did they live? What was significant about them? Now, I'm not going to preach today about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We would be here much longer than the Memorial Day weekend, and you will miss your barbecues. But you need to start to go to Sunday school if you don't know who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are. If those are just names and there's no story connected, you should go to Sunday school or simply read the book of Genesis and you will find out about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the amazing stories of their lives and why they are related to and connected to the name of our God. These are the great patriarchs, the ones who begin the line of a covenantal relationship with God. God calls Abraham, of all the people in the world, he calls this one guy to become the great father of a nation of people that would come after him. And Abraham, we're told, simply picked up and left his family and his friends and went on this amazing journey of faith into the unknown, to follow this one true God who called him. Isaac is the son of his old age, the son of promise. The name Isaac means he laughs because with God nothing is impossible. Isaac gives birth to, his wife gives birth to twins, Esau and Jacob. Esau's the firstborn, Jacob's the second, and you will and behold, Jacob ends up supplanting Esau as the child of promise, the child of the covenant. And it's through Jacob and his unbelievable life, running away from Esau, going to serve his uncle, being away for 14 years, marrying two different women, giving birth to 12 different sons, and returning back, that we have then the story of Joseph and how the people ended up in Egypt. And then that leads to the Exodus and on and on and on. We need to know these stories about these people if we're to understand who we are and how we got to where we are and why in the world we need a Savior named Jesus. Our God is not a generic name. deity off there somewhere. Our God is a God rooted in a historical relationship with real people, starting with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Joseph. And Reuben. And Moses. And David. And Joseph and Mary. And Jesus. And Peter. And Paul. And you. And me. By giving us this clarification that God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it invites us to understand that that same personal relationship that he shared with the beginning of the generations of covenant goes on to this very day. If you come back at 11, and you're welcome to, there is going to be a baptism, two baptisms, a brother and sister. And they will be baptized by name. Christopher Alvin will be baptized, called by name, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is also the God of each one of us, the God of this little boy who will be named and his sister by name. I love this aspect of our faith, and it also gives us pause. Because our faith is an extraordinarily personal one. It means that we bear the responsibility of telling the story and seeing ourselves as part of the story. There's a very interesting little vignette. You know, this naming of God as God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob continues on into the New Testament. I mean, this is part of the way that God is revealed. And there's a very interesting vignette where Jesus is being approached by a group of people who are claiming there is no resurrection, that all life is what we know, and when you die, you go in the ground, and that is the end of things. They were called the Sadducees. And so they're trying to set Jesus up, and they're asking him a provocative question. And this is in Matthew 22. And Jesus responds to them, and he basically says, you guys who are supposed to be religious leaders have no idea what you're talking about. You do not understand the resurrection, and you do not understand the nature of our God. And he said, as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He's the God of not of the dead, but of the living. And when the crowd heard it, they were astounded at his teaching. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying that our God, when he revealed his name to Moses, who lived thousands of years after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac. If these guys were dead and gone and buried, there was no resurrection, God would have said, I was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob back when they lived, but they're gone now. But that's not what God said. He goes, I am the God. These guys are still very much alive and well. You don't understand the nature of our God. They're living because they're with God, but they are also continue to live because their stories continue to be told. And it raises for me this extraordinarily important question that you and I have to deal with. Now, the chances that you are going to be called to sacrifice your life for this country, I hope, are minuscule. I pray with all my heart that we will never find ourselves embroiled in the kind of wars that have taken the lives of tens of thousands of men and women. That God would simply protect us from that kind of conflict, that none of our children here would end up in harm's way. But some of you might. We don't know. But I do know this, that as a follower of Jesus Christ, we are called to live our lives in the same pattern that we see in Christ, who, though he was created in the image of God, did not count his relationship with God as something to be grasped, but he willingly took the form of a servant and became obedient. Obedient to death, even death upon a cross. The cruciform model of life, that sacrificial way of life, is the way of life of each and every Christian. And the question is, when our story is told, when your story is told, when you and I are remembered, what will we be remembered for? What sacrifice will live on beyond this life that we have? We bear a responsibility for our children and grandchildren and the generations who come after us to be people whose lives leave a legacy. And the only way that will happen is through sacrifice. And the question is, what form will that take? Because every story is different. The way your friend sacrificed, and your relative, and your grandfather, and your brother, and your uncle, their sacrifice was very different. What they were called, where they served, what they did. And so it is with each one of us in Christ. While we may all be called to some very similar ways of life, of generosity, of care for the poor, of worship, of self-giving, the way that's lived out is absolutely unique for each one of us. The things that we choose to invest ourselves in, to give ourselves toward, is very different as it was for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and on and on and on. God is not a generic concept. Our God is a personal God who attaches himself to particular people at particular times and calls them to particular ways of self-giving sacrifice and service that last beyond this lifetime. That is the pattern of our God. And that is why I believe when he gives his name, he modifies it by saying, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's an invitation to put our name in the next spot and to ask, how will our story be told when our Memorial Day arrives? Lord, thank you so much for including us in your story, for calling us into this covenant relationship that you started with those three patriarchs that continues unbroken to this day, that we are part of this great family, this family of relationship with you and with one another. And God, I just pray for my friends here today as they struggle with the big questions of life and what's important and how they're going to spend their time and their money and the things that they will leave behind, and those parts of their life that will be remembered, and the stories that will be told. Oh God, help us to make wise choices with this gift that you've given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.